Amen. Let's have our seats. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we give you praise. We give you all the adoration. We thank you for your preservation upon our lives. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for provisions. Thank you for taking good care of us. Unto you be all the glory, honor, and adoration in the name of Jesus. As we gather this evening to hear from you, we ask that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened in the name of Jesus. Flood our lives with light in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you because we know this and more you will do. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. All right, once again, I want to use this medium to appreciate God and also to appreciate our church pastor, Pastor Samson, for this privilege granted unto me to bring God's word. We pray that the Lord continually strengthen him and also prosper the ministry he has committed into his hands in Jesus' name. I also want to celebrate all the pastors here present and all the pastors of Higher Ground. So help me celebrate our Father in the Lord and all the pastors. Help me celebrate them. Amen. All right, so this evening, I'll be speaking on, I wanted to speak on something different, but over the night, God began to impress a continuation of what we began to look at on Sunday. So I'll just continue with the topic of on Sunday. So we're going to be looking at When There Is No Covering, Part 2. When There Is No Covering, Part 2. And the emphasis of today's or this evening's Bible study is to look at God's systems of preservation. So that's the subtitle. Our topic this evening is When There Is No Covering. That's the part 2. And then our subtitle is God's Systems of Preservation. God's Systems of Preservation. So let's read our focal main text for last Sunday, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. Afterwards, we'll now read Jude, verse 24 and 25. So Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. We'll now do Jude, verse 24 and 25. So Exodus 13, 21, 22 says, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Jude verse 24 and 25. Jude verse 24 and 25. All right, if you're there, I'd like us to read that particular passage together. Jude verse 24 and 25. If you're there, say, I am there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. All right, so please do quick. Jude, verse 24 and 25. All right, let's read together after the count of three. One, two, three. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. All right, so we started on Sunday and we're able to establish what the covering of God is. And as a way of recap, we said, number one, the covering of God is, if you're in church on Sunday, first, the covering of God is what? The glory or the presence of God. Number two, the covering of God is what? Huh? Okay, protective shield. And then the last one was that the covering of God is a seal of what? Huh? Is a seal of belonging. Now, we now consider that Exodus chapter 13, how that God went with the children of Israel by day and by night, and there were pillars made available by God as a system of guiding them and as also a system of preserving them. Now, because of what we have to do today, we are looking at Jude verse 24 and 25. And if you start from verse 1 of that Jude, what you discover was that it was an exhortation, and then at a point, what the exhortation began to impress, even in the heart of believers, as believers also, is that we should earnestly contend for the faith that has been given unto us. Afterwards, went ahead talking about the times and then the season, talking about how darkness shall cover the earth, talking about the various form of infiltration of the enemy by falsehood that will come. And one of the principal things that the Bible makes us understand in verse 20, where most of us always pray with, is telling us, but you, building up yourself in your most holy faith, and then it started talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Afterwards, what verse 24 now began to tell us, that in the midst of all of this, it has said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So it now introduced to us that as believer, the one who has called us, the God who has called us and has saved us, did not just save you to leave you like that. He is also committed to seeing that you are preserved on earth. So, God did not just save you through his son and left you. He is also committed to seeing that on this Christian race, on this journey of life, you are preserved. You are not taken away by the enemy. You are not taken away by falsehood, such that even if Satan introduces different means of taking away believers, taking their focus away, God is committed in seeing that you do not only run well, but you what? You finish strong. How many of you have written exams that after you read or you studied, you discovered that I have cleared these exams? Maybe it has happened to you, but I pray it never happens to anybody. But when you get to the exam hall, it was more like you didn't study anything. Not that the questions were really difficult, but at that point, your head went blank. You couldn't attempt the question. So you now discover that even that person ran well, that person was running well because he was reading, he was understanding. But when it got to the point of delivery, he couldn't deliver. So God does not just want you to say or be among those set of people where the Bible said that they casted out demons, they healed the sick, they did many things. But at the later end, he said, I knew you not. What God wants to do is that at the point of, from the point that you are saved to the day you will appear before him, he wants you to run well and also finish strong. So tell yourself, I will run well and I will finish strong. So now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So God is able, and the ability of God is tied to his integrity. When the Bible said that now unto him that is able, it means that there are tendencies that people will commit their life to people who are not able to keep them. Are we together? But this one who has called you, who has saved you, and who has brought you into his economy of grace, he is able to keep you. And on Sunday, I was trying to make us understand that even every kind of temptation that comes to you as a child of God, that facility of God given to you called the grace of God is an enabler. And that grace of God is able to make you say what? No to every form of ungodliness. So it means that when Satan comes with temptation,
There's something that God has given you called the grace of God that is able to make you say no. Now, today we are looking at God saying that He is able to keep you from falling. And the ability of God, just like I've said, is tied to His integrity. So it means that just like when you hear, let's start with medication. When you have headache, what do you consult? After you have prayed, maybe the headache persists. What do you consult? Paracetamol. It means that if I just come into church today and say, paracetamol, what comes to your mind? A medicine or an antidote for what? For headache. If I say Flagyl, what comes to your mind? That means that the names of these medicines or pills, immediately it is mentioned, as long as you know about it, it creates an image in your mind, that, and that image in your mind is as a result of the possibilities of those medicines. Are we together? Even so, when you mention certain profession, when I say doctor, what comes to your mind? Maybe an hospital, then what again? You know, then when we're little, if you are crying so much, I don't know if it happened here, but then when you are crying so much and they say, see doctor coming, doctor is coming, what comes to your mind is that they will inject you. So you now take alignment. The cry just disappears because you don't want injection. So when you say a doctor, something comes to your mind. When you also say a soldier, you know, the funny thing is that that soldier office or that profession commands a kind of respect. Because if somebody wears the camel trouser, even though it's not a soldier, if you are misbehaving and that person comes, what happens is that everybody takes alignment. Even so, when we mention God, there is something that is supposed to come into your mind. And what is supposed to come into your mind is an advertisement of all of the possibilities of God. So, I know many of us look at it that if your dad was Dangote, you will have not been broke. If you are associated with many prominent names in the nation or in our continent or even in the globe, you felt that your life will have been more advantaged than you are now. But many people cannot brag with the fact that God is their father. So, when the name of God is mentioned, you are supposed to is supposed to create an impression of the possibilities of God in your heart, knowing fully well that since God is my Father, and the scripture makes us understand that He controlled the hearts of kings, it means that because I have His backing, anywhere He leads me, nobody will be able to resist me because I have a backing. Even so, what Pastor Lekan was teaching us last week about the concept of faith and hope, even when God makes a promise to you, or if you have the backing of God, He's supposed to impress hope in you. He's supposed to build faith in you and also build hope in you. Knowing that because God said it, I believe it. And because God said it and I believe it, I will also what? Hope for it. Are we together? So if you look at Psalm 121, the Bible was now telling us, okay, let's read it. I think we can still read it. Psalm 121, let's look at it briefly. I'm trying to lay that foundation so that when we begin to look at those systems of preservation, you'll be so sure that God is intentional about seeing that you run well and that you also finish strong. Psalm 121, we read the whole verse 1 to 8. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be what? Can you read that verse 3, whatsoever version you have? 1, 2, 3. So it means that the one who keeps us, because He is able to keep us from falling, it means that God does not sleep, He does not slumber. He is able to keep you. And you know, Even if you say you are trusting in Babalawo, how many of you know that Babalawo also sleep? You know, I just discovered, I don't know how many of you have watched this movie, Spirituals by the Winlows. How many of you have watched that movie? It is in that movie I discovered a very powerful weapon. Do you know that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient? But in that movie I discovered that Satan is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere. I mean, demons self, they are not everywhere. They thrive on the information that they get. It was in that movie I said, wow. It's only God that is omnipresent. He's the one who is omnipotent and is the one who is omniscient. So Satan or demons only have access to your life by the virtue of the information that you give at their disposal. So a winch cannot touch you without information. Are we together? Do you now believe that demons are not omni? They cannot be everywhere at the same time. So you now notice in that movie that as long as a woman, that woman was pregnant, and her mother didn't know because the mother was the winch. As long as the mother didn't know, what happened was that the baby was preserved. Did you notice that even when she was almost giving birth, as immediately the information went out, what they did was to act to kill that child. But because God is able, what he does not sleep, he does not slumber. Every details of your life is captured in him. He has it. And because he never sleeps, he never slumber. Let's finish the passage. Verse 5 now say what? The Lord is what? The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy... So verse 6, let's read all together. The sun... Why? Verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, do you now see that this passage explains what I have said before now? Why the sun will not smite you or the moon will not smite you is because you are covered. There is a covering of God over your life. He will preserve you such that even when everything is falling apart, there is something that keeps you. There is something that sustains you. No matter how dark the world becomes, there's something that secures you from all the systems of the enemy, from all of the devices of the enemy. And that's why we spend much time looking at it on Sunday, that no matter what, you must guard the presence of God. You must guard the covering of God over your life. Because outside of God, you are disadvantaged. Outside the covering of God, you are disadvantaged. So we see again in this passage God's commitment to see that we are preserved. Now, because of God's intentionality in seeing that you are preserved, what he does is to put in systems for your preservations. And we're going to look at about 4 or 5 systems that God has put in place for your preservation on the earth. Amen. So let's go through them as the Lord will grant us grace and also grant us speed. So God has systems built on earth to see that you are preserved. And as we go through all of these systems, I'd like you to prayerfully trust God to look at which of these have you not kept, because each of it has an implication or has its own role in your life. So number one, God's system of preserving you, the covering over you, is your parent. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. If I ask some of us to memorize it, we'll be able to memorize it. But let's read the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. God's system of preservation, number one, your parents.
All right, so that you will not sleep. I know it's cold, so we'll be reading together. We'll be reading together. So after the count of three, read from verse 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. This covering is so crucial because you did not choose it. You did not choose your dad. You did not choose your mother. And we're doing preaching practicum, and they gave me my pericope, my complete thought. The passage I was given was genealogy. And I think I was speaking, maybe one time I'll preach it. I was speaking on ordinary men in God's divine plan. And I noticed that, did you notice in the genealogy of Jesus, there were people that we didn't even know what their life was like. We only heard this one gave birth to this. How many of you used to jump genealogy in the Bible? Confess. Amen. And you know, from my side, we used to tease our mom, because my mom can do that very well. When those times when we're still going, we'll say, ah, this girl is beautiful. I would like to marry her. And your mother will not tell you, you see this girl, myself and her mother, this, do you people do it in Yoruba land like this? They will find a way to trace that lady to be your cousin or your auntie. Hi, Jesus Christ. Last, let's just trace ourselves to Adam and let nobody marry him. Amen. You did not choose your dad. You did not choose your mom. What God did was to put them as a system of preserving you. And that preservation started from when you were conceived in your in the womb. So your dad and your mom chose that we will keep this baby because this baby is a blessing. They did not take pills to flush you out. And even when you are giving birth, you notice that there are many people who give birth. I wonder how somebody will hold a baby for 9 months when she just give birth. You now see they put the baby in a sack and throw the baby by the road or throw him by the river or all of those things. So they also preserved you from death, took care of you, and you grow up, fulfill purpose, and all of those things. Now, you now notice from the passage where we read, one of the coverings that, or one of the strengths of your parent over your life, no matter how they look like. Because many people claim that because you don't like your dad or you don't like your mom, they just feel that is a platform to dishonor them. So because your dad made a mistake and the family is the way it is, you now build a beef with your dad. And because you build a beef with your dad, you cancel your dad from your heart, and then you cancel your mom from your heart, and you feel like, I shouldn't honor them. In verse 3, you now discover that the importance of honoring them is what? Check verse 3. So that what? Your days will be long and... Huh? It will be well with you. It means that the covering of your parents over your life is that their covering over your life by the virtue of honor is to ensure that you are well and to ensure that you live long. You must not compromise the place of honoring your parents, no matter how your dad looks like, no matter how your mom looks like. The Bible tells us a very powerful principle to preserve our lives, and that's honoring them. As you honor your parents, as you honor your dad, as you honor your mom, what you get is that, I hope you know, because it's not a day to talk about spiritual fatherhood and biological fatherhood. You know, many people honor even their spiritual parents more than they honor their biological parents. And so many people feel that the God bless you from your pastor or from your spiritual parent is more powerful than your biological parents. God bless you from the lips of your dad or from your mom can save you from many damages. I tell you the truth. So it is a principle, or it is one of God's strong system of preservation.
that you must not do away with. So how to secure the covering of wellness and how to secure the covering of long life is that I develop what? Honor for my what? For my parents. So that's one of God's systems of preserving you upon the earth. How many of you have been in a situation or you've noticed that you were in the midst of something, but you know that what preserved you was where the prayers of your parents. The first time I went for an international, no, it was a national quiz. Even me, I knew I was not prepared. But my mother made a prayer, simple prayer, when I was going. You know that there is a way you can go to quiz competition and you know that God has his hand upon you. Because God will now ensure that every question you choose is simple question, but your opponent chooses. Have you ever been in a quiz competition and you now feel like, wait, oh, is the judge changing my question? Because you will notice that almost all the questions you were answering were not favorable questions. But this one person sitting down, every question they were asking, you're like, is the man manipulating the questions? Even also, there are accidents that can be averted, sicknesses that can be averted because of honoring parents. I beg you by the mercies of God, no matter how your parents look like, they are a system of preservation over your life. And the Bible tells us that if we want to be well and we also want to live long, we must not compromise honor for our parents. So our parents, parenting is one of God's system of preservation. Tell yourself, I will honor my parents. So sometimes the gift may not be big. Your parent might send you 5K, 10K every month. There's a way you can bring honor, even in substance. I hope you know, honor is not just in substance, but how you even behave towards them. You can send them 200 recharge card. Daddy, I send this thing for you. You know that as little as that gift is, you know if you give the person 200 cash, in your head it's not big. But you don't know the joy that 200 recharge card can bring in the heart of your parents. And do you know that most times, I'm not trying to place hierarchy on blessings, most times, blessings come from a heart that has been honored. Are we together? So please, no matter how your dad look like, no matter how your mom look like, you may not like them, but that's where God placed you. And if you want to live long and you want to be well, one of the principles is sustaining or maintaining honor for them. The Lord will grant us grace to honor our parents in the name of Jesus. So number one, God's system of preserving us is what? Is what? And if you look at the story of the prodigal son, when he left the covering of his dad, what happened to him? It was one loss or the other. Number two system of God's preservation is spiritual authority or spiritual parenting or pastors. Spiritual parenting or spiritual authority or pastors. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, bro. 14 to 15. The Bible says, turn, O backsliding children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 15, let's read together. Spiritual parenting or your pastors, your pastor or your spiritual parent, anyone that we're looking at, That's another system that God puts in place to preserve you. Because you are his sheep and he's your chief shepherd, what he does is to look for a physical shepherd to put you under. And what God said is that I will give you shepherd after my own heart. So it means that, I know those are two different concepts. Even in spiritual parenting, you don't choose a spiritual father because you want fame. You don't choose a spiritual father because of influence. The basis is not influence. You don't even choose a pastor because of influence. God leads you into one. So your pastor, your spiritual parent, are also a covering over you, because what they are supposed to do is to feed you so that you can know the Lord. And God is so intentional. I wonder why some people just stay at home and they say they will not go to church. And let me say very, very, let's note very well that a tree that is not taller than you cannot give you shade. A tree that is not taller than you cannot give you shade. You know, the funny thing, spiritual fatherhood has been abused. So you see somebody who is a baby in following God is now fathering a baby who is also following God. Sorry, I don't mean to abuse spiritual fatherhood or anything. But I'm trying to make you understand that a tree that is not taller than you cannot give you shade. And even in pastoring too. If you discover that your pastor does no longer bring you instructions, does no longer teach you, those things in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Bible was saying, all scriptures are God's bread and is profitable. If your pastor's sermon is now beginning to look like news to you, it means that, are you sure that's where God led you to? Let me just put it like that. Because it's supposed to be a covering over you, bring instructions to you, bring God's word to you, nurture you, and make you grow. So you must be intentional about who is your pastor, and we are blessed with one. Hallelujah. So celebrate our pastor once again. All right. So when it comes to the concept of spiritual father, I hope you know spiritual fatherhood is not a compulsory thing. It's only a necessary thing. Are we together? Do you understand? It is not a compulsory thing. It's only a necessary thing. But pastor, every one of us, as long as you're a believer, is supposed to have a pastor. The funny thing is with the music ministry of even Nigeria is that we have many celebrities who don't have pastors. That's why there are many misbehaviors. They don't have pastor. They don't belong to a local church. So you must have a pastor who is a covering. It's God's system of preserving you. Because your pastor is just like a shepherd. He knows what you need to eat. He knows what you need to feed on. He brings instruction from God to you. So you must allow God to lead you to one, and also remain where God has planted you. And one of the things I will counsel us, because it's a Bible study, is that in your following, please be careful of offenses. Are we together? Be careful of offenses, because offenses can rob you of inheritances or blessings from your spiritual covering, whether spiritual parent or pastors. You know what I mean by offenses? Huh? You're not talking now. Do you understand what I mean by offenses? You know, there are people who keep beef with their pastors. That's the easiest way I can explain it. So there are people who have left the church. I'll come to church later. There are people who have left the church because they felt that they were not respected. They were looked down upon. And one of the principles I will give you is that if God led you here, let God lead you out. Don't allow offenses lead you out. So even in spiritual parenting, even in pastoring, because it's a system of God's covering over your life, if God led you in, don't allow offenses lead you out. Trust the Lord to guard your heart. My meditations yesterday were around the church. You know, God loves the church no matter how it looks like, because the church is his bride. So it doesn't matter how damaged the church looks like, it's his bride. And the funny thing is that if you feel that because the church is not good, the church is this, and you want to add more damage to the church, what happens is that God still loves his church as his bride, and he will fight you for wanting to add more spoilage to his bride. Are we together? So no matter how the church looks like, God, Jesus still loves his church. He's his bride. And woe unto you who feels that because the church is becoming something else, let me contribute. just like a man will fight for anyone who wants to touch his wife. That's how God fights. That's how Jesus fights for his church. So please guard your heart against offenses. Guard your heart against offenses when you come to following. And let me tell you the truth. Your pastors or your spiritual parent are not also perfect beings. They are not gods. So you might notice some flaws. This is it. You must not compromise the place of honor, and you must not compromise the place of followership, because God led you there. If he doesn't lead you out, stay there. Are we together? Do we understand what I just explained here? So, spiritual authority and spiritual parenting, your pastor is also God's system of preserving you. Because while you are sleeping, God can wake your pastor up and say, pray for this person. Pray for your sheep. So there are many sacrifices your pastor make for you. There are many sacrifices your spiritual oversight make for you. And because it's a seal of belonging. Sometimes, because of that seal over you, you discover that there are many things that cannot happen to you because of your oversight, because of the covering over you. That means that even the spiritual parent and also the pastors must also become intentional in providing covering for their what? For their followers. Amen. So number two is what? Number three, spiritual circles or friends. Spiritual circles or friends. So let's do Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. I know some of us do it very well. So after the count of three, if you can memorize it, don't memorize something wrong. If you cannot read your Bible. So let's read Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. 1, 2, read. The law of the Lord and his law doeth he meditate there, and shall be like. Very good. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. What the psalmist was counseling us at this place was saying that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel. It means that what you are also, where you are supposed to be found is in the counsel of the godly, right? So let me ask you, who are your friends? You have decided to follow Jesus, but your circle, not even 1% have decided to follow Jesus with you. So why are you keeping them? Your friends have a strong influence over your life. And I've noticed that as you begin to grow, there are many things you come and do, not because your parents told you to do it, but because your friends were discussing it and you want to do it. And many times in your teenage age and in your youthful age, one of the things that is part of your formation that strengthens you or that influences most of your decision are your peers or your friends. So who are your friends? Who are your circle? Let's look at 1, 2, 3 of the people you call your friends. When you meet to discuss 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hours, after the discussion, are you edified? Because your friends can help you maintain the covering of God over you. In fact, they are also a covering over you. I've noticed that many times, even if nobody can tell you anything, your friends can tell you. Abi, do you have friends that they can be watching you, but no matter how big or no matter how you feel that you are, they are the ones that can look you in the eyes and say, "Guy, you know, try this thing where you do now rubbish you." You know, if you have those kind, you maybe that person that is laughing understand. You know, there are friends that cannot correct you in peace. They, in their correction, it will almost become like you will be offended because of how they did the correction. So me, I've learned something, and I want to teach you. Be more concerned about what you are corrected of than how you are corrected. Some of you, what they are correcting you of is a good thing, but of all the correction, the only thing you picked was that he was shouting at me when he was talking. We will now leave the point of what they corrected you of. What you now stay on is what? He was shouting, or she was shouting. So you now leave what you are corrected of. So be more concerned, or place more value on what you are corrected of than how you are correct. The truth is that all of us will not correct one another in the same way. Are we together? Somebody like me, sorry, Pastor Stephen, no, me, I am blunt. I don't know how to call black off-white. You know, there are people who are good with words. So even if the thing is black, they don't want to just tell you directly. Me, God will help me. But me, I'm blunt too. I'll just tell you, this thing you did is wrong. You'll have packaged it. You know, there are people like me, but there are people that they will pamper you. You know, we're doing a deliverance session one day, and they were casting out demons. So I told one of the lady that was with us, "Hey, I pray for this person, pray for this person." You know what she did? Well, she now hugged somebody who is possessed. You are now hugging the person, and you are praying. I said, "Cast out the demon." You are hugging. When you finish casting out the demon, you cannot hug the lady. Let's deal with him. So me, I believe in those things. Once you let's deal with the thing. I cannot come and tell you, "No, I love you, but I love you so much." You understand? Amen. But in a nutshell, please correct in love. Are we together? So let's look at two friends who will now see how strong your spiritual circle is. So let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. Somebody should help me read. 2 Samuel. Okay, who are the lovely sister? Amnon. Okay. Yes. He lost after her, all right? Okay. Now, wait. Do you see that this man called Amnon was at a state of emergency? They said that he lusted after her to the point that he became sick for his own sister. Do you? When you continue to read, he had a friend. Continue. Okay. Whose name was Jonadab? All right. Okay. Was a very crafty man. The son of a king having a crafty friend. Continue. He said to him, "Okay. So, do you not see the problem was not, he needed somebody to confide him, right? So that, but do you not notice that now when he spoke, speaking was not the problem, but look at what happened. Ha. Okay. All right. Now, thank you. Bro Sam, if you were Amnon's friend and he tells you that, what will you do to him? That's the end of the friendship. Oh, you don't want to save the guy. You want to leave the guy in his terrible state. Do you know? Like, are you seeing the image? Because it's dawning on me that some of us didn't fall because we had intentional problem. We have sincere, let me use that language. We had sincere problem, but our problem became worse because of the people we told. And instead of them to help you stand, they helped you open the hole so that you can fall well. How can this man tell you that he is lusting after his sister? And what you are telling him is that you are the son of a king. Just tell your dad, because anything you ask your dad will do it. Do you have friends who you can look at and say, sir, lust is eating me? And that friend will not tell you, satisfy it. Do you know there are people who went into pornography, masturbation? Not, they were having sincere feelings, but because they confided in somebody and they were hoping to be helped, they didn't know that they met somebody who was going to make things worse. So Jonadab tell him, this is what you have to do. Even though he had that feeling, did you notice that Amnon didn't know what to do? Huh? Did you notice how he got his sister Tamar? Was because his friend did what? Suggested it. Who are your friends? There are people who have started certain habits, not because they wanted to, but because they are friends. Who are your friends? People started to smoke, not because they wanted to smoke, but they were like, how can you be as old as this and you never test cigarettes? Yeah, I am, if you be man. I remember when we were little that time, we wanted to prove strength. So what we'll do is that, you know this cup we'll play Ludo with? We'll now pound dry pepper, put little salt, and we'll now go up on a hill. Then you can just carry little water. What we wanted to do, how you prove that you're a man and you are strong, is that you'll be licking that pepper. Oh, thank God, Osa didn't catch us. You'll be licking that pepper. If you do too much, they'll say you are not a man. So in a bid to claim that you're a man and to prove your manhood, you'll be licking it and tears will be rolling. And we have some wicked friends. There will be one person who will not take it with you people. His own is to cheer you. You're a man! You can do it. Let me ask you. The habit you are struggling with, are you sure that it was not a friend that encouraged you to fall for it? Did you also notice in the book of Daniel, the Bible said Daniel proposed in his heart. It was Daniel that also went and met the prince that was in charge of them. But did you notice when it comes to preserving, Daniel didn't only preserve himself. What did he do? He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, don't forget who you are. So we must not eat this thing. Do you have a friend that you can wake up in the night and say, pray with me, I am drowning? Do you have friends who you will tell them, I have not prayed for the last one week. My prayer life has gone down. My study life has gone down. And then the friend can look at you and say, you are at a state of emergency. We need to pray for you. Maybe I've shared the story. One of my friends who was a prophet then when we were on campus, after some time I called him. I said, how far now waiting the apple? He said, I know they do God again. That the last time he went to church was 3 months ago. I called most of my friends that we were praying together on campus. I said, this guy is at a state of emergency. We must pray. Do you have friends like that? Do you have people who can strengthen your hands in the day when your hands go down? Please don't joke with the selection of your spiritual, your friends and your circle. Your circle can have a strong impact on your life in seeing that the covering of God is preserved over you. So please choose your circle. The last word, because of our time, so that we can pray. So we said God's system of preservation. Number one is what? Your parents. Number two. Number three.
spiritual friends, circle, your spiritual circle, or your friends. So if you have somebody who has been taking you out of God's presence, you will need to intentionally cut that person off. Because immediately Amnon did that evil. Did you notice that his enmity was not only with his father? His father was pain. But did you notice that it also created an enmity within the king's sons? Because, what's his name? Absalom, the brother of Tamar, made sure that Amnon was killed. Guard the covering of God over your life. Don't stay where they are discussing. There are people who fell for sexual sin because they were in a place where they were always discussing sex. So the thing was not clear. And you know, words are very powerful. No matter how you claim to say that you are not listening, you will say you are not listening until you are on your own. You are sitting down on your own. You now discover that Satan begins to replay everything that was discussed. So the safety is that cut off or leave those people. And if it is your friend, ensure that under God, you do all you can to help that friend rise from that place. Amen. The next one is the church, so that we can pray. Another system of God's preservation over you is the church. So let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 to 19. Another person, let's read Hebrews chapter. Okay, let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. If you're there, you can help us read. Hebrews 10, 25. Okay. Alright, so as a believer, one of your system of preservation is the church. And if you read that Matthew chapter 16 from verse 18 to 19, what Jesus spoke after the revelation of his person, he spoke about the destiny of the church, and what he said is that the gate of hell will never win over the church. And because the gate of hell will never win, it means that your covering as part of the church is that as long as you stay therein, there is preservation for you. And we see that in the early Christian church. Did you notice in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, let's read that passage. There's a word I'm looking for there. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Okay, verse 33 said what? And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The last part says what? And great grace was what? Upon them all. Upon them all. Everybody had a supply of great grace. And the following verse now tells us they shared all things in what? They shared all things in common. So that was how strong the church was. That was how powerful the church was. Everybody had a supply of grace. Just like the day of Pentecost, everybody had the supply of his own flame. And even when it came to physical things, nobody was neglected. Because if you didn't have food to eat before all of us go to our various home, will we ensure that you have food? They shared all things in common. And one of the things I've discovered, because we are about to pray now, is that even in our spiritual giftings, because we are one body, one of the things I've understood is that even if I'm not the one holding the microphone, I am not supposed to appear in church empty-handed. Because there's a gift inside of me, there's a measure of grace. It means that as you are sitting down now, God can begin to impress to you that there's somebody who has been marked for death. And as a priest and in the church, what you're supposed to do, wherever you're sitting, is that you came with a potency to be able to avert that death. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, one day,
I was in church sitting down. That was when I was in campus. While they were preaching, me, I was hearing somebody cry. And when I turned to the person sitting close to me, I discovered that she was not crying. So after closing, because it continued, and I tapped her, I was hearing tears. Who is crying? So she told me that actually she came with burden in her heart. And she was crying before she came here. Told me what the problem is. And what I did was to hold her hands and pray for her. The thing was dealt with later on. I am saying that you may not be the pastor, but because we are all a church, when you come with a fragrance. You have your own potency. It means that you are sitting down. How many of you that sometimes you are in church, even though you didn't have money, God now told you what you have in your pocket, give the other person part of it. In church. It's because when we come as a church, we are supposed to share even in our strength. And that's why, so that we can pray, when Peter was arrested, the Bible says, and the church gathered and did what? Make prayers. When we are making something, literally, when you are making something, it's a combination of different things. When you want to make stew is a combination of different ingredients, right? It means that everybody's voice was an ingredient to make sure that Peter was what? Was released. And that's what we are about to do now. Because we want to cover every of our brothers sitting here as a church. So that if somebody came here with debt on him, you are supposed to cover him as your brother. You may not know him. If somebody came here sick, you have the ability. There is a shared fragrance that can move among us. So wherever you are sitting, can you grab the, make sure you are holding the hand of somebody. Because we want to pray as a church. As the person on the keyboard. Make sure you are holding somebody. Make sure. The church is a system of covering. And you see, just like I said, when we mentioned the church, I was asking myself that day, that what did it look like to come to church in the days of Paul, in the days of Peter? It means that the church had a kind of possibility. Did you notice that even when Peter was passing by, they used to lie down sick people? It means that as we are gathered like this, we can, there is a way you can cover your brother. Maybe somebody came with heavy heart. You can pick it in the spirit and we avert it. So can you pray and say, Lord, help my brother, help my sister. You may not be even holding the person as you are standing, but there is a shared fragrance as we are standing right now. Don't let my brother fall. Don't allow the enemy to win over his life. Help my brother, help my sister. Pray. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. My brother will not fall. My sister will not fall. We insist upon their preservation. Even if he came with a budding heart, as a church, we share fragrance this evening and we say, let it be lifted. Even if he came with a family problem, we share graces and we announce, peace be still, peace be still. Even if that person is suffering academically, as a church, we share in our intelligence. There was something that the church was known for. There is a covering that we can put upon the life of everyone here. We ask that Satan will not waste any one of us. The small one among us will be strong. Is there anyone who is failing in his prayer altar? We ask, let flames be shared. Let flames be shared. Can you pray? My brother will not be wasted. My sister will not be wasted. We insist upon their preservation. Sicknesses can disappear in this atmosphere. The gates of hell will not prevail over us. We insist, my brother will not fall by the wayside. He will not be taken away by the enemy. My sister will not be taken away. We are preserved. We are kept. Let every body be lifted. Shake the gebele teke brene kebila habatela ate kebrete kete. We put a covering over every one of us here. Shake the gebele teke brekete kete. Arate kete gebele teke brele tekete. As God is impressing things in your heart, it may not be for the person you are holding, but there may be somebody here who is passing through that. As a priest, can you command it? We ask that let there be supply of grace. My brother will not be wasted. Let that affliction end. Let that affliction end. Oh, la coria capianta cabe. Shegete kebele teke brekete. Orane solomba. Aiya papa papa papa. Let's speed, 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 speed. There is somebody who has been slowed down, but today we declare speed. We declare speed. Run, 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 run. You are a soldier. You are a soldier. You are a soldier. Run, run. We release strength upon you. Shegedeke bele kobrano saine. Falane sele. Ito come atekambe. Shibaratai. Aikababo teke. Ateke breke tekete. If anyone came here with a challenge, as a church, we cover you. You are shielded. Oh, the enemy will not tell the end of your story. We ask that let grace be supplied over your life. My brother will not fall by the wayside. We will be many strong. We will be many running for the Lord. We will be many burning for the Lord. So we ask that no one will be wasted. Alano sai kabemo varane varane skete kebo rato sala kabia ateke be koria silante. In Jesus, begin to declare those things God is impressing in your heart. Pray, pray, pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. This one will not be taken away. We insist on their preservation as a church and every member of Higher Ground Baptist Church. You are preserved. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Sala barano sile kemo uria kasalame ite kobra kaski palata. I'm perceiving. There is somebody, there is an urgent need. We ask that the Lord send help. He send help. He send help right now. Right now. He send help. He send help. He send help. We send help. He send help. You are not helpless. Shake it, take it, bele kombata. We cover you. We cover you. We cover you. And we ask that let there be supplies. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I know there may not be time for us to say what God is impressing in our heart, but what God is telling me right now is there is somebody whom you've noticed delay around you and around your family, and what God is saying that don't stop. Just build an altar of prayer and praise around that thing. And he's causing you as a deliverer in that particular family. So God is saying that continue to pray and continue to praise. He will supply you with stress, with strength. And your life will be an advertisement that God has taken over. Because one of the things he will do over your life is that he will give you speed. So we ask that grace is supplied for that person in the name of Jesus. And upon everything that we have prayed for this evening, as a church, we cover every one of us here, even those online and those that are not here. We ask that an extension of the covering of the Lord upon them as a church in the name of Jesus. The gate of hell will not win over your life. We will be many who are strong. We will be many who are ablaze for the Lord. We will be many doing the Lord's work in the name of Jesus.
and upon everyone here who has broken the edge or the covering of parenting, broken the edge of spiritual overseeing, who has broken the edge even of spiritual friends and circle. We ask that the Lord send you help in the name of Jesus. We recover you by the strength of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you've answered our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.